Voices from the Valley on Park Radio. Where the lives of the people that call the Bow Valley home come to life.
Hi, and welcome to Voices from the Valley. I'm your host, Alan Buckingham. I'm joined today by Kamara Miller, who recently had a chance to sit down with Bow Valley resident Ginny Dalgas. Hi, Kamara. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks.
So tell me a little bit about Ginny.
Well, she's a really sweet person. She was born in Regina and first came to Alberta in 1987. And then they started a family and moved to Calgary for 10 years and then to Ontario for 6 years and then back to the Bow Valley in 2003.
Yeah, cool. And so what's she doing out here now?
She's working at the Info Center, which ties into what she was doing in Alberta originally. She originally spent 4 years at the Peter Lougheed Provincial Park working as a park interpreter. And then throughout her university years, she worked at Greenwater Lake Provincial Park in Saskatchewan.
Well, I think I just love actually working outside is a big pull for me. And I like working with people. And I guess passing on my love of, you know, nature in a way and my appreciation for it and you know, the kind of need to protect it. And so I think that's what drew me to interpretive work, is it's all of that. You're outside, you're teaching people about things they might not know about nature and increasing, you know, their appreciation of it, but also your own at the same time, because you have to learn. You always have to be learning, and I like jobs where I'm always having to learn, and then it really enforces my learning if I then have to tell someone about it. So
And she mentions the need to protect the nature, and this is a subject that's very apparent in her life.
I'm very involved in a lot of groups right now. And when we moved back to Canmore, or to the Bow Valley from Ontario, I'd spent 6 years in an area that was really, really losing all its natural spaces very rapidly. And I think that's the first time it hit home, how important it was, the work that I was doing in parks, actually working in a protected space. But what I didn't realize is the work that had gone into protecting those spaces and making sure they were protected. I just got to work in them. And so coming back to Alberta, I just, you know, Canmore has gone through a lot of development. It's slowed, the development has been slowed because of the provincial and national parks around it. And that's what attracted me back. I thought, well, that kind of slows the dragon a little bit. And so moved to Canmore knowing that even though development is going to occur, that at some point it would have to stop, or at least stop without quite a fight. And that's what I wanted. I wanted clean air and clean water for my family and a good, healthy environment. And I find that the Bow Valley, that people are very health conscious. They're very in tune with the natural environment. I think people are travelers and learners in the Bow Valley, and I just think that's a great place to live. And then you can't beat the natural surroundings. So that's pretty sweet to be able to just, you know, drive 15 minutes from home and be in wilderness.
So what are some of the groups she's involved in?
Well, she's really involved in the Community Cruisers Bike Share in Canmore, and her involvement in this program really sparked from a completely different program.
Canmore Community Cruisers is a bike share. That's how it started, and now it's kind of morphed more into bicycle recycling. And so we do have a fleet of bikes that we share, but we're focusing our efforts more on actually recycling bicycles and getting them back out into the community affordably for people so that they have transportation. But I'm also involved in other sustainability efforts, partly because when I moved back to Canmore, it was just happened to coincide with Canmore doing the natural step to a sustainable Canmore, which was a program in which people that worked for the town of Canmore, as well as some business people in Canmore, got to take a sustainability education workshop that extended over 6 months, 2 days a month for 6 months. And I guess I felt having been privileged to take that. I just lucked out. I think I called and they happened to keep my number on a reserve list and decided to let some of us come as what was called observers at that time to take this course. But then all of us observers got very enthusiastic about it, and so they let us be early adopters, official early adopters. And then the onus was kind of on us after we finished the course. Well, you've learned this. Now it's, you know, we're hoping that you will also help us, you know, spread these ideas and the ways that Canmore can work towards sustainability, and the Bow Valley, but at that time everyone was from Canmore. So I guess I feel that I was charged with something. You know, I was given that course and I learned a lot. And so that's, you know, I feel like, okay, well, there's these opportunities to get involved. One of the things that came out of a natural step to sustainable Canmore was making it a bicycle-friendly community and reducing traffic. But it just simmered away for 2 years, almost 3 years, before any of us kind of knew what to do. And then we just decided to just start something, and that was the bike share. And so, I mean, there's lots of great cycling groups in the Bow Valley already doing great work, like all the, you know, competitive cyclists and cycling clubs. I'm not a kind of hardcore cyclist in any way, so I don't even know the names of all those cycling clubs. But there's a lot of avid cyclists in the Bow Valley, and so it just is another element of making bicycles kind of a big feature here in the Bow Valley. It's very cyclable. In my mind, you know, you can. It's a big, flat, open valley, and as long as we can cycle safely on the roads, it's a great, great place to cycle. So that's, you know, kind of one of the things I'm involved in. But then I'm involved as a sustainability ambassador, a canvasser in Canmore right now, too. So we're going around to houses and offering people these gifts, sustainable action gifts. It's the town of Canmore had partnered with the Biosphere Institute of the Bow Valley to go around to every house in Canmore and offer someone in the house or the residents of the house something that would make their lives more sustainable. Just small, kind of a small gesture, a small gift. Compact fluorescent light bulbs, a tire pressure gauge, a canvas bag, and I always forget what the other thing is, actually. But just small things, you know. And lots of the things are things people are already doing. Like the thing that amazes me as a canvasser is I go to the house, and even though people will sign the pledge form saying, I pledge to work towards a sustainable Canmore, they don't necessarily take the tire gauge or the light bulb or the bag because they're actually doing all that stuff. So it's really fun to get around to all the residents and see how committed everyone is to actually making a difference.
That's pretty cool that she's involved in these sustainability programs. What keeps her continuing with them?
They're just really important to her, and it's really refreshing to just hear that.
Well, I think because I've seen, you know, I've traveled not a ton globally, but I have traveled, you know, to bigger places like in Malaysia. I went to Thailand and just seen big cities like Bangkok and going to Guatemala City or, you know, big places where there is, you know, problems with pollution and congestion and whatnot. And then also in our own country, Canada, you know, living in the Greater Toronto Area, just my own husband being caught up in traffic for 2.5 hours, 3 hours for a 20-minute drive. You know, those kinds of things are, you know, we're so lucky here and we forget in the Valley, you know, just how a lot of the world does have to live. And I'd rather work at slowing that down and improving the world. But it's for sure it's because I'm a big thing is for my, I have kids. And so I'm not just thinking of how I'm living and when I'm, my life's finished, but that my kids and their kids and their kids are going to inherit. I know it sounds cliche, but they are going to inherit, you know, what I've left behind. And so I'm trying to do my best job I can to clean up my act, I guess.
Now, is environmental sustainability the only thing Ginny's interested in?
No, like many people from the Bow Valley, she loves to be outdoors.
Well, I like to hike. That's probably the thing I do the most in the summer. I hike. I had a lot more day hiking since I've moved to the Bow Valley. I've found that I can do a really good hike and still sleep in my own bed. So I have to admit I don't backpack as much as I used to. And then in the winter, I guess I convert my hiking to skiing because I like to explore on skis. And more, like I love track skiing. Because we have such excellent groomed trails in the Bow Valley and then down through the Kananaskis. But in the last couple of years, I've started exploring the backcountry a bit, and I'm trying to educate myself about avalanche and that kind of so that I can travel safely in the backcountry. And that's, I was just getting into that when my kids were born, and I just, you know, I was one of those super cautious moms and I wasn't going to take any chances. But now I'm learning more and realizing I don't necessarily have to die when I go in the backcountry. I just have to be smart. Probably one of my favorite places to go is into that Egypt Lake area, Sunshine Meadows, through down to the Kootenai, like Highway 93 South, like over then into the Boom Lake, Arnica Lake area. But I think it's probably just because that's where I've gone. It's accessible. You're in the Alpine quite quickly and stuff like that. So, you know, when you're only doing long day hikes, that's kind of sometimes as far as you can get. And then for winter skiing, I don't know yet with the backcountry because I haven't gone very deeply into the backcountry in Banff National Park, but I love going up the Cascade Fire Road. It's a really good ski. You get a really good sweat going up the first little hill there, and then just going out into the Cascade. You know, it's very, very beautiful.
Well, we got to take a bit of a break here, but when we get back, we'll have more about Ginny Dalgas with Kamara Miller.
Voices from the Valley will be right back. Welcome back to Voices from the Valley.
Welcome back to Voices from the Valley. I'm your host, Alan Buckingham, and I'm joined this week by Kamara Miller, and we're talking about Bow Valley resident Ginny Dalgas. So, Kamara, before the break, we were getting into Ginny's love of hiking and skiing. Does she have any memorable moments from her trips into the outdoors?
Well, she doesn't have a million wildlife stories, but I'll let her talk about one of her trips.
Well, I do what you're supposed to do and be noisy on the trail, so I can't say that I've actually run into much wildlife. Of course, you know, I always enjoy seeing marmots and ground squirrels and, you know, different birds and whatnot. But I guess I'll tell my bear story, because I actually got to see a bear last year for the first time. I've never seen a bear when I've been hiking. But we were up at going to Wachemna Pass, so from Lake Louise, Moraine Lake, and up and out to Eiffel Lake. And it was a super hot day. It was probably, I don't know, 30 degrees, probably 29, 30 degrees, super hot. And so we had we swam in Eiffel Lake on the way to Wachemna Pass, and then coming back down off Wachemna Pass, stopped at Eiffel Lake to swim again. And we were just sitting like on the rocks, you know, warming up, I guess, after going in the really cold water. And we just saw some motion off, like kind of up above the lake, you know, maybe 50 feet or so. And we all looked at what we thought. We didn't know what it was, because it was this thing with a huge head and a scrawny body. And to me, it almost looked like a mechanical wolf or something. Like, it just looked weird. And then we realized actually that it was a bear, a fairly young bear, maybe 2 years, maybe three, with a head that was dry and a body that was soaking wet. And he had just been swimming around the corner from us. So that was fun, right? And we all huddled together and got our bear spray, but the bear was absolutely not interested in us at all. So, and then when I went to report the bear, because, you know, doing due diligence, of course, many people had seen that same bear that day, and it was a bear that was, they weren't that concerned, but it was one that didn't seem that concerned with people. Yeah. So, but for me, it was really exciting. It was my first wild bear. So, yeah.
And the winter doesn't bring a lack of wildlife either.
I remember, I guess 2 winters ago, I was going out the Cascade Fire Road, and it was about 4 in the afternoon or so. So it must have been March or April, because the days were long. And so I went out, and almost as far as the Warden Cabin, you know, the 14-kilometer mark out there at the Cascade Fire Road. And I just loved it, because it was just full of wolf prints. Oh, no. They had just track set it. That was it. So they had just track set it in the afternoon. So I was kind of one of the first people skiing the tracks. And when I got over the Stony Creek Bridge, there was just a ton of wolf tracks. And then as I continued skiing out, there was just wolf scat everywhere and tons of tracks. And so I felt like I was as close as I could have been to, you know, seeing wolves and the excitement of a kill and all that, because there was, you know, really lots of hair, very fresh. So there must have been a kill somewhere, you know, fairly close, or they had killed somewhere. And then they were, you know, busy digesting or whatever. But it felt really cool, because they were so fresh, the tracks, you know, and no other skiers had been along the trail yet. So
after all the travels in her life, what keeps her here?
Basically, she loves it.
Well, for sure. I mean, and now it's home. I mean, you never say never, but I don't see myself moving. Like Bruce, my husband and myself, we kind of have come here to be here. And so we see ourselves traveling, but that this is home now. And I have to admit, it has to do, my years at Kananaskis made me absolutely fall in love with the mountains. Being a prairie person, I think it either goes either way. You either can't stand it because you're claustrophobic, or you take to it, and I took to it. And I just love, I mean, I love the fact that I'm close to wilderness. That is the thing, when I lived in Ontario, I missed the most. Like, just having to travel so far to feel that you were out in the wilds, where you might get a chance to see a bear or a wolf or any of those wild animals. Like, or, you know, I just had forgotten how I took that for granted living in Kananaskis, you know, hearing elks bugle outside my door. I mean, it's just, yeah, it was so far away from that when I was living in Ontario that I just thought, no, I need wilderness. I really do. That's something I really need.
And she has family out here too, right?
Yep, with her husband Bruce and their two children, Dylan and Murray. And I'll let her describe how she met Bruce.
Oh, probably like lots of couples here in the mountains on a hut trip. I went out, one of the wardens, who is now a good friend, I guess he's our matchmaker, maybe Jay Honeyman, who is the Krillian Bear Shepherding, what would you call him? Guru in the valley. He first brought Krillian Bear Shepherding to the parks here from the States, or worked with them. Anyway, Jay would always organize these New Year's ski trips, and we'd go to like Rogers Pass or to Stanley Mitchell. So the year that I went to Rogers Pass, Bruce was there. Bruce and Jay had been in Katimavik together, that youth program where they travel across Canada. Anyhow, I guess it was kind of love at first sight. We were both in a place we both loved, and we're doing what we loved, and we were both footloose and fancy free, and I think probably a little bit of wine didn't hurt. But yeah, it was, we hit it off from there.
Actually, she has an interesting story about moving the family back to Alberta quite a few years ago.
I think, to tell the truth, we were all a little bit, I shouldn't speak for Bruce, but I know the kids and I were a little bit freaked out about bear and cougar, because as you probably know, that sometimes in the media, things that happen far away get blown up, you know, in a distant place, and so without all the facts and figures. And so some of the incidents that had happened here in the Bow Valley when we were away in Ontario, we only got the bad news and the really, you know, blown up and over-exaggerated stuff. So we had in our minds kind of gone a little bit frightened of wilderness, I think. The kids would probably roll their eyes if they were listening to this, but I think we were all a little bit cautious, and it took us all a little while to feel at ease again, knowing that there wasn't a bear or a cougar around every corner.
And working at the Info Center, she must have some interesting stories about working with people every day.
Actually, I was surprised because I thought she would too, but she's has a different point of view because of her travels. She's been it changes the way that she treats her day-to-day business at the Info Center.
You know, I'm probably the worst one for that. Like, everyone else has a good story, but I think I probably over-empathize with people because when I've traveled to other countries, I know that sometimes the questions I've asked, I'm sure they probably must just, you know, even though they're very polite to me, once I'm gone, they're probably like, that woman, what was she thinking? So anyhow, I have a feeling I don't have so many stories like that. But I remember one young guy, he was a really sweet guy, you know, maybe in his early 20s or so, came, and he'd never been to the mountains before. And he came in and he, you know, said that he came in to get some information in, but he wondered about the fences along the highway. Was that to keep the, what did he say? Is that to keep the people out of the mountains? That's how he worded it. Is that to keep us out of the mountains? And I said, no, the fences are actually wildlife fences to keep the animals safe, so the animals, you know, won't go onto the highway, you know, and get killed. And I explained how that had decreased, you know, mortality on the roads by 85% and blah, blah, blah. I was giving the big spiel, but he was still focused on the fact that, oh, it's not keeping me out of the mountains. He goes, so I can just go up any mountain? Oh, and I was, anyway, he was these big wide eyes, and I just thought, man, he really has never been to the mountains. Like, so of course, then I went on to explain, well, you could, but you know, you might kill yourself. So there's some really important, you know, safety tips. And then I gave him the safety spiel and showed him the maps and whatnot. But yeah, people come here with a sense of wonder, and I guess it doesn't. And you know, we take for granted those fences and the fact that you should think twice about where you go when you head out in the trail. But I guess for people, when they just see it and they just say, I want to go to the top of that mountain, and that lady said I could. It's like, no.
Well, Ginny's a pretty interesting person. Thanks, Kamara, for coming in and talking about her with me today.
Thank you.
If there's someone you'd like to hear on Voices from the Valley, let us know. You can call the feedback line at 403-762-1536, or you can email us at feedback@parkradio.ca. You can listen to past Voices from the Valley by heading to friendsofbanff.com and clicking the podcast link. Voices from the Valley can be heard each week at this time on Park Radio. Tune in next week to hear from some more Voices from the Valley.
Voices from the Valley. Only on Park Radio 101.1 FM.